Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of May 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. We'll check in with the Crop Scouts making their way across Kansas, parts of Oklahoma and Nebraska, too, to look at the hard red winter wheat crop and evaluate it for both disease as well as crop size. We'll talk with Harry Cooney, he's from GrowMark, about the agricultural energy markets, and we'll discuss what's been happening with the weather. That with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, futures were lower today in the corn pit May contract, down 12 cents at $3.78 and a quarter, July at $3.79 and three quarters, 12 lower, and September down 10 and three quarters, $3.81 and a half. December corn 9 and a half lower at $3.87. March of next year down 9 at $3.95 and a half. May soybeans 10.21 and a half, 14 lower, July at $10.30 down 13 and three quarters. The September $10.19 down 10, and November beans at $10.10 and a quarter, down 7 and a half. January 8 and a quarter, lower at $10.11. Bean oil off 6 cents at $32.13. Bean meal at $3.39.50, down $5.80. Soft red winter wheat down 17 and a quarter in Chicago at $4.59 and three quarters. July the harvest month 17 lower at $4.70 and three quarters. The hard red at $4.42 down 19 in the May. July down 18 and a half at $4.55 and three quarters of a cent. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby June contract at $116.10, 30 cents higher. August at $114 even, up 27.5. May feeders at $182.5 higher, $143.25, and the August at $142.95, up $1.45. Lean hogs for the day unchanged at $78.42.5, and the lead option May contract June at $82.92.5, up 22.5 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org. You can also find the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week in iTunes and as podcast wherever you can locate them, especially off our website.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Here's how the energies are trading for the day. June crude oil at $43.73 a barrel, down $1.06. Ethanol futures, $0.02 of a cent lower at $1.51 and three tenths of a cent per gallon. Gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price is at $1.51 and four tenths. That's down 4 and eight tenths of a cent. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.33 and seven tenths is $0.08 of a cent lower. Natural gas up 4.5 cents at $2.08 and seven tenths of a cent. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 17,684 is down 115 points. The U.S. dollar is up 0.312 at 92.93. And gold futures at $1,288, down $7.80. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. A chance of showers before 3 a.m. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 3 and 4 a.m. Showers are likely and possibly a thunderstorm after 4 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low this evening of 49 degrees on a southwest wind at 6 to 10. Gusting to 15. Chance of rainfall in the area set at 60%. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms are likely before 2 in the afternoon, then scattered showers, mostly cloudy, and a high of 58. On a northwest wind at 10 to 17, gusting to 26. Chances of rainfall tomorrow set at 60%. More showers on Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming clear with a low of 40 degrees, and will drop with our winds out of the northwest at 7 to 15 miles an hour. Then sunny skies on Thursday will go to a high of 61 degrees with a northwest wind at 10 to 13.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For 100 years, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, is here. Thanks, Wayne, for being with us this afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Do we have a good explanation for why grains and oil seeds were lower in Chicago?
Oh, we probably have some reasons. We're not sure if they're good or not. I mean, basically along the way, it's definitely a turnaround Tuesday. Yesterday, we started lower and ended higher, and today we started higher and ended lower. Basically, it's following a lot what's going on with the dollar. The dollar, of course, was down early today and come back. On the end of the day, we're up 31 ticks as we look at it now. The crude oil, finally saw a little bit of a sell-off. We've been pretty high. We're down at $1.03 here right now, that pulling on down. And, of course, the stock market, some little fears of Chinese economy and a few things going on with that. But all in all, the outside markets turned a little bit negative today. We've been running just about straight up, and a little bit of profits being taken in some areas. And, of course, the wheat tour, overall, they're finding some rust damage, some other problems along the way, but overall it looks like it's going to be a pretty good yield on what they're seeing so far. Some of them talking about coming close to Kansas' prior record yield of 45 bushel acre, like was back in 2010.
Yes, the hard red winter wheat tour is making its way across Kansas. We'll hear from Pam Smith here in just a bit. And you can always find it online with real-time updates at our website, willag.org. I posted a Twitter feed there, which is actually pretty good. I've got 14 folks that we're following on that, and it seems to keep us pretty up to date on what's been happening with the hard red winter wheat tour. Soybeans down 14 cents in the lead option. May, November down 7.5. The corn down 12 and 9.5 respectively. This is a turnaround Tuesday. Profit taking, does that mean we're going to find a place to bounce at some point?
This has been a highly fund-inspired rally over the last couple weeks, Todd. And generally, they tend to come back in and pick up the slack here somewhere or buy at a lower price. They sort of run out of buying at the upper level, but they'll come back in a little bit. So we don't look for total collapse into tomorrow. We look for things to settle back a little bit and then look for the point where the funds will come back into buyers. We've had a lot of people been short some call options here, too, and on a little bit of a setback, they're looking for places to maybe cover up some of those short calls.
Any reason to be concerned from your farmer perspective about getting the crop or the rest of the crop in the ground? We've moved along quickly, but rainfall looks like it's going to come fairly regularly now.
We heard from a couple sources today that some of the bean companies have been selling a lot more seed beans. They've called some of the farmers that they buy their seed from. They're having them haul some more in and cleaning some more. And so I think there are some people that are being concerned about whether they're going to get their corn in timely and maybe doing some switching to beans. Now, we don't know what degree that is, but I think there's going to be some acres are definitely, because of price and because of lateness, are going to be switched to beans.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Don't forget to visit our website at willag.org. Right now, you'll find a series of stories there, including a Twitter feed that's coming straight from the fields across the great state of Kansas, parts of Oklahoma and Nebraska. In fact, up next, we'll take a look at what's happening in that hard red winter wheat tour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Monday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Well, all this week, crop scouts will fan out across Kansas, parts of Oklahoma and Nebraska, too, that to evaluate the condition and size of the coming hard red winter wheat crop. The tour is organized by the Wheat Quality Council. The council was founded in 1938, by the way, to help improve wheat for use by millers and other end users. I spoke over the noon hour today with Pam Smith from DT and Progressive Farmers. She's based in Decatur, Illinois, and scouting the wheat crop in north-central Kansas. Our conversation started simply enough with a question about crop conditions and what I figured was pretty good weather to be in the field.
Yep, that's right. they've had rain here and the moisture profile looks good, and we've seen a lot of variability in wheat. Some early yields are all over the board from 40 to 80 bushels, what we've measured so far, but we're also seeing some disease, so there's we're measuring, you know, what is the potential of the crop. So there could be some, there's still a lot of season left to go.
Wheat is one of those crops that's really quite susceptible to disease. Do you think there will be a big enough problem that is generated from the rainfall that came last week and I guess more rainfall yet to come?
Well, it's, like I said, it's hard to say. It depends on whether they are treating for it and what kind of investments they're going to put there. But we've seen some stripe rust and some other things that indicate there is some activity anyway.
How many stops did you make this morning?
I think we're at 8 stops, yes, so far.
And how many for the day will you have?
We'll try to get in at least 12, and looks like we're on good pace to make that.
Yeah, so you should be into the final site for the night. Are you in Colby, Kansas this evening?
We are.
And then what happens there for the night?
We will put all the numbers together. There'll be a report. Farmers from all over come in to hear what we've been seeing, and we have a little gathering and talk it over.
Thanks so much. Can you hand me off to Ben Hancock, please? I know he's traveling with you.
Yeah, he's driving right now. So.
Never mind.
But we just did our average right now is at 57 bushel is for the 8 stops.
57 bushels for the 8 stops. Thanks so much, Pam. Is it okay if we check in with you again later in the week?
Sure.
Pam Smith covers agriculture for DTM Progressive Farmer. She's based out of Decatur, Illinois, but traveling this week across the great state of Kansas on the Wheat Quality Council's annual Hard Red Winter Wheat Tour. She's in the car this week with Ben Hancock, who is the Executive Vice President of the Wheat Quality Council. We'll try to check in with them a couple of times throughout the week. The tour runs through Thursday. By the way, if you check out our website at willag.org, you'll find a live feed from the tour from 14 different participants making their way across Kansas, Nebraska, and parts of Oklahoma. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows around the nation farmers have planted about 45% of the corn crop. That's a 15% gain over the last week, and despite the rainfall, still running 15% ahead of the rolling five-year average. 13% of the corn crop has emerged. Missouri producers continue to come out of the gate at a sprint. Usually they have about half their crop in. This year that number's 87%. There are no condition reports yet for corn. Farmers have moved quickly into soybean planting with 8% in the ground, a 5-point gain over the week before, and 2% ahead of average. USDA in its weekly crop progress report shows 42% of the winter wheat crop has headed just ahead of last year and 8 points faster than average. Crop condition improved again. The current winter wheat numbers are 32% fair, 50% good, and 11% excellent. Now here are the regional updates with audio from the statisticians in 4 of the 5 top corn-producing states of the nation.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, with the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report. Although some field work was done early in the week, as the week progressed, rains halted planting across much of Iowa for the week ending May 1, 2016. Cool, wet weather slowed crop emergence, and many reports indicate tile lines have been running steady. Statewide, just 17% of the corn crop was planted during the past week, but with 57% of the crop planted, progress remained one day ahead of last year and 8 days ahead of the 5-year average. Farmers in the north, central, and central Iowa have already planted over 3/4 of their corn crop. 7% of the soybean acreage has been planted. That's 5 days ahead of average. 96% of the state's oats crop has been planted, 2 days ahead of last year and 2 weeks ahead of normal. Oats emerged reached 68%, 4 days ahead of the previous year and 8 days ahead of average. The season's first oat condition rating came in at 1% poor to very poor, 28% fair, and 71% good to excellent. That's the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending May 1st, 2016. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA NAS, Upper Midwest region.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Rains halted fieldwork around the state last week as most areas received 1.5 inches of rain or more. The statewide average rainfall was 1.64 inches, nearly 3/4 of an inch above normal. Temperatures averaged 58 degrees around the state, slightly more than 1 degree above normal, but northern parts of the state had temps about 3 degrees below normal, and southern areas were 4 or more degrees above normal. Corn planting advanced 24 points to 66% complete, compared with 58% 1 year ago and 38% for the 5-year average. Corn has emerged on 25% of acres, compared to 12% normally. Planting progress is slowest in southeastern parts of the state due to excess moisture. Soybean planting is now 9% complete, the same as 1 year ago, and slightly ahead of the 5-year average of 5%. 90% of oats acres have been planted, and 2% of sorghum acres are planted. 29% of the winter wheat crop has headed, compared to 8% normally and 20% for the 5-year average. The condition of the crop was rated 5% very poor to poor, 27% fair, and 68% good to excellent, the same as 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Rain showers combined with below-average temperatures slowed fieldwork during the week. There were only 2.0 days rated suitable for fieldwork, though conditions in the northern and southeastern parts of the state allowed more opportunity for planting. Producers in a few areas were concerned about the effects of the cool and wet conditions on crop germinations and emergence, though many others noted that the moisture received during the week was beneficial. Minnesota's corn planting increased to 59% complete, that's 13 days ahead of the 5-year average, but 2 days behind last year. 5% of the corn crop has emerged, that's 4 days ahead of average. 6% of the soybean crop has been planted, which is equal to the average, but 4 days behind last year. Small grain seedings continue to be well ahead of average, nearing completion in the west central and southwestern parts of the state. Spring wheat planting was 63% complete overall, that's 16 days ahead of average, but 13 days behind last year. 82% of the oat acreage has been planted, with 53% of that acreage merged, over 2 weeks ahead of average. The barley crop was 46% planted and 18% emerged. Potatoes reached 48% planted, that's 10 days ahead of average and 4 days behind last year. And sugar beets planting was 88% complete, that's more than 3 weeks ahead of average. Producers noted that pastures continue to develop nicely and forages generally look very good. In some areas, the weather and resulting mud have been hard on the livestock. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Cooler temperatures in northern Indiana, along with strong weekend storms and increased precipitation in central and southern Indiana, slowed planting progress. Average temperatures ranged from 51 to 67 degrees. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.81 to 3.51 inches, with a statewide average of 1.82 inches. Corn planted was 30% complete, compared to 16% last year and 22% 5-year average. Corn planted remains far ahead of last year and the 5-year average. Cooler air and soil temperatures over the past week have some growers concerned about successful seed germination in the newly planted crop. On the other hand, the increased rainfall and hailstorms in central and southern Indiana that came in over the weekend posed a risk for emerged corn. Any crop damage to corn is unknown at this time. Winter wheat jointing was at 81% this week, compared to 48% last year and 60% 5-year average. Winter wheat headed was 14% complete, compared to 3% last year, and 9% 5-year average. Despite the cooler temperatures and excess moisture in some areas, wheat conditions remain high. There have been some aerial applications on headed wheat to defend against stripe rust and head scab. Soybeans were 6% planted this week, compared to 3% last year, and 8% 5-year average. Plantings have been spread throughout the state as farmers are able to finish up corn planting. Other activities for the week include applying fertilizer, finishing spring tillage, finishing mint plantings, and hauling grain. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Jessica Lemonager reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for updates of crop conditions in their regions. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energy markets. Harry Cooney is here from GrowMark. Let's start with the seasonals and what's been happening with them. Harry, thanks, by the way, so much for being with us. Usually they would tend to start to flatten out about this point.
Well, good afternoon, Todd, on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon across central Illinois. Yeah, the seasonal price study in energies tends to bottom out in the wintertime, December, January, sometimes even February, then rally out into late April, early May. So really, we're right in that window of opportunity now when the markets would tend to top out. They'd put a peak in the price and then set back some into the next month, sometimes even 2 months. So we're in that time period now of prices tending to set back when you look at the averages of history.
And what do you see as we move through May and June?
Well, if the seasonal will come like it's supposed to, you would have the seasonal setting back of price. You would take prices down somewhat, and then traders would look to reload for some type of a summer, maybe early fall price rally. So on this next setback, if it does occur that way, and I say if, it doesn't work that way every year, but if it does, then that's when people, end users, would want to take and look to reload for the last half of the year on any contract needs they may have, whether that's in liquid fuel or propane.
And finally, because it's an election year, oftentimes you'll hear somebody say, well, price of crude probably will stay fairly weak through November as those in power would like to have more votes and believe that the back pocket is a good way to get votes.
Oh, you have some good questions. You have some good questions. Yeah. Well, all I can say about that is that nothing in what I say tends to come from my thoughts of or not any political side at all. It doesn't even come into my thought process. It comes into my thought process, but as far as my ideas on where the market's going to go or not, it doesn't really have any bearing on it whatsoever, really. So, that just doesn't really enter into it. It's whether it's a political year or not, obviously it's in my mind, but it's not that I use that to come up with my price ideas at all.
Is there any indication that this actually happens in election years?
There are some election year studies that do suggest it. However, when you look at some of the results of some of those studies, it's not very convincing at all. It's kind of like in the stock market. They have this saying, sell in May and go away for the rest of the summer. And I just read a study about that the other day that, it does work, but it's not a real reliable indicator either. So that's the same way with the election year one.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Harry, for taking the time with me.
Hey, thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney, of course, is with GrowMark. We'll be back in just 2 minutes with the weather. Weather forecast.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
It's National Raspberry Popover Day. The raspberry was a native bush to Turkey, and as early as the 1st century B.C., was gathered from vines at the foothills of Troy. William Prince established the first raspberry plant in nurseries in the American colonies in 1737, and Luther Burbank is credited with introducing a number of raspberry hybrids into American horticulture. On this day in agricultural history in 1654, a bridge in Raleigh, Massachusetts, began charging a toll for animals while people passed for free. In 1844, William Atwater was born, an American scientist. He developed agricultural chemistry. After receiving a PhD from Yale for his studies on the chemical makeup of corn, he turned his attention to the effects of fertilizers in farming. Later, he determined the chemical makeup and nutritional values of fish and animals. In 1910, Howard Ricketts died, an American pathologist. He discovered that Rocky Mountain spotted fever is spread by cattle ticks and that typhus was caused by a similar organism carried by lice. Ironically, Ricketts died at the age of 39 in Mexico City after himself being stricken by typhus. And in 1944, most wartime meat rationing ended in the United States. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here from Day Weather out in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Let's take a look at the weather forecast, and we'll start in the hard red winter wheat-growing regions of Kansas, a little bit of Oklahoma, parts of Nebraska, where the Wheat Quality Council is hosting its tour this week. What kind of conditions will the folks on that tour be working under?
Well, first of all, it's going to be just textbook May. A little bit of everything is coming their way. Temperatures up and down right now. They are going to be enjoying some mild weather after some cool and wet weather in wheat country over this past weekend. There's going to be another storm system here later this week and into the weekend that will bring more rain and thunderstorm activity to Nebraska, to Kansas, to Oklahoma, and many areas of Texas. Right now, the weather's pretty good in those areas, but we'll be turning wet and unsettled this weekend and early next week.
And let's bring it a little closer to home. What kind of weather conditions for planting in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska?
Well, it's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster ride. Now, areas that I think may be getting a little bit wet that could interfere with planting will be Nebraska. They had a lot of rain this past weekend, some snow in the far western areas of Nebraska. They're looking at 1 to 2 inches of rainfall over the next 10 days. That's also going to extend into Iowa. That's going to extend into northern Missouri, eastern Kansas, as well as southeast Minnesota and all of Wisconsin, and then spreading eastward across the rest of the Corn Belt. Now, we do see those heavier rains coming over the next week to 10 days. There'll be breaks, though. It won't be continuous. But every 3 days, there's going to be a system moving through, bringing rain and thunderstorm activity to all of the Corn Belt. So that may slow down, folks, but hopefully folks can catch their breath in between these systems.
So here we are in the first week of May. Last week, you thought that the first 3 weeks of this month might be fairly wet. Are conditions continuing to look that way? And is it as wet as you thought it might be?
I would say yes and yes to all of those. I think the precipitation amounts are going to be near to above normal in many areas. But as I alluded to earlier, there's going to be gaps. We don't see one particular storm setting in and staying around for days and days, but a high frequency of systems coming through. So this is going to be hopefully striking a balance between getting adequate precipitation, but allowing some drying in between these systems. So maybe we can get the best of both worlds, but it certainly would favor a trend that is going to be cool and wet with these systems coming through the first 3 weeks of the month.
Are the systems more likely to be 3 days or 5 or 7 days apart?
I'd go with 3 to 4 days.
That might be not long enough to dry things out. We'll see. It depends on how much rainfall comes with each one of them, I suppose. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Don Day. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at WILLAG.org. And don't forget to check out the Winter Wheat Tour making its way across Kansas. We've posted a Twitter feed there. That will give you a live update of what's happening each and every day of this week.
It's sponsored by the Wheat Quality Council and runs through Thursday. I'm Todd Gleason.